Hello and welcome, or welcome back. I make Podpicks, and today I am going to be reading Scaredy Cat by Eternally Opal on Archive of Our Own. The main pairing for today's story is Kaminari Denki and Shinso Hitoshi. The rating is teening up audiences, so it's good for everybody. And yeah, now without further ado, please enjoy. Scaredy Cat. Written by Eternally Opal on Archive of Our Own. Read by Demon Feed Audio. Summary. Denki and company go to a haunted house. Meet cute ensues. Denki Kaminari loves Halloween. He loves the costumes, the parades, the vibes and fanfare of the whole month surrounding it. Unfortunately, Kaminari Denki is a scaredy cat. Definitely not the worst you've ever seen, but the dude's always wired, so the smallest disturbances startle him more than they should. Despite his scaredy cat status, however, he can't say no to a haunted house that his friends want to go to. "What is a Takotsubo cardiomyopathy?" he whispered to Sero, squinting down at the clipboard.
"Fuck if I know."
"Heart muscle dysfunction caused by stress or fear," Jiro said with a less than comforting grin. "Literally being scared to death." Kaminari gaped. "How did you know that? Is that going to happen? Am I going to die?" She shrugged. "I texted Momo. She said we'd be fine unless we have a history of cardiac arrhythmia or something like that." First of all, Kaminari had no idea what that meant. And second, she was way too chill signing the form and turning it in after dropping a bomb like that on them.
"Oh yeah, I know all about that," Kirishima started. "We go over all of that for exercise stress training."
"No. No more science or school talk. I came here to lose brain cells. I refuse to leave any smarter than when I walked in, okay?" Mina said, playfully pointing a finger between Jiro and Kirishima. Jiro lifted her hands in surrender.
"Okay, then sign the papers and let's roll."
Truthfully, Kaminari didn't read past the first few pages of the wafer packet they were given, but he signed and initialed where it indicated and turned it in before he could change his mind. "They should do it electronically instead of handing out a small forest every time," he thought. "Think about the trees." With that, the front desk worker accepted their waivers and led them to the start of the house. Part of the draw of this haunted house was the different themes. Every section had a different theme, including a graveyard, a mad scientist's lab, a Victorian-era mansion, and a few more that Kaminari immediately forgot about as they stepped into the first one. The door closed behind them, leaving them trapped in a dungeon? Sex torture chamber? Who knows? What they did know, though, is that no one was moving.
Who wants to go first?"
Sero asked nervously. Kaminari thinks he hears Kirishima gulp, but it's quickly overcome by a loud sound of metal scraping on metal somewhere across the room that pulls a startled yelp out of him and his friends. After arguing amongst themselves for a hot second, the group decides on playing rock, paper, scissors, which Kaminari promptly loses.
"Don't worry, Denks, we're right behind you," Mina said.
"That is not as reassuring as you think it is," he shot back, before turning an inch closer into the room. Kaminari's eyes were still adjusting to the darkness of the room after being in the fluorescent light of the lobby. He was starting to make out the shapes of tables, cages, and support pillars throughout the room, but couldn't hone in on any fine details or obvious paths out of here. His attempt to get a better look at their surroundings was interrupted by another bout of grinding metal. Kaminari also picked up on what sounded like footsteps across the room, beyond his field of vision.
"There's someone in here," he whispered. "We're not alone."
He heard a voice squeak behind him, but didn't take the time to decipher who it was from.
"Keep moving forward, Kami," Jiro said from behind him, nudging between his shoulder blades.
Together, the group inched forward, deeper into the room. Kaminari paused to look down at a table to his right, which was covered in bloodied weapons and shackles. While he isn't particularly squeamish, his heart rate increased at the sight of it.
"Is that the door?" Kirishima asked.
"Over there,
with the light coming out from under it. No, that's too obvious. It's probably this one. Saro pointed at a door on the other side of the wall that looked more detailed than the area around it.
Fucking pick one. I think they're getting closer. Fuck!
Mina let out a screech, effectively scattering the group into the two different directions. Kaminari made for the closer door, Jiro and Kirishima on his heels. Grabbing the handle with a shaky hand, he yanked it open and directly into Kirishima.
Watch it, man! Just get in here! Saro, Mina, let's go!
He called across the room. Mina was able to turn on a dime and make a beeline for them, crossing into the threshold of the next room in seconds.
The person? She panted. He's over there.
The other three turned to look for Saro, only to find him cornered behind a table by a cloaked figure. He turned slightly, and they could see a large cleaver in his hand, dripping blood. Saro faked left around the table, only to go the opposite way, just skirting past an outstretched hand. Weaving around the remaining tables and obstacles, he finally made it to the relative safety, pulling the door shut behind him.
Jesus fuck, Jiro, where did you find this place?
He gasped, bending at the waist and holding a hand over his chest.
I'm gonna have one of those stress heart attacks or whatever.
Kirishima slapped him on the back.
That was totally manly, dude. Guys, look, Jiro said, directing their attention to their new room.
Fluorescent lights flickered overhead, partially illuminating what looks to be a hospital ward. It was in disarray, with overturned gurneys and instrument trays. Privacy curtains were strung between bed spaces, obscuring their view from most of the room. They couldn't see the next door from where they were, and would have to move through the curtain maze to find it. Kaminari found himself at the front of the group again, despite how their order was mixed up during their moment of panic. Turning to look at his friends, who looked ridiculous hiding behind him, Kaminari scoffed, I hate you all. Kirishima offered him a sheepish smile before shooing him along. Again, they began their procession through the room, watching their steps for the papers, medical instruments, and pools of blood strewn across the floor. Kaminari flinched at every long flicker of light and every curtain they passed. The longer they went without incident, the more his nervous anticipation grew.
Did you hear that? Saro asked from behind him.
Honestly, Kaminari was having a hard time hearing anything above the sound of his heart racing in his ears. He turned to look at Saro and ask where it was coming from as they passed the next curtain, but that plan of action was quickly foiled as the person he saw was not Saro, but a bloodied man in hospital scrubs rushing at him.
Ah! Oh my fuck!
He yelled, flailing his arms out in front of him and shifting his weight back to lift his left foot in defense. His hands and foot met something solid, and he immediately pushed off of the guy in front of him, stumbling a bit away and then turning to catch up with his friends who had already gotten a few feet away. He reunited with them pretty quickly, and together they ran through the rest of the room, dodging a different actor in a hospital gown and collectively skidding through a pool of blood that hopefully wouldn't stain their shoes. Jiro spotted the door out, and they were able to cross into the next room without further incident.
Okay, why don't we...
Jiro said, breathing heavily.
Why don't we slow down for a sec?
I second that, Saro chimed in. Kaminari looked over to see him in the tripod recovery position. If he wasn't so out of breath, he'd make fun of him for being out of shape, but pot, meat, kettle, and all that. Instead, he brought his hands up to brush his bangs out of his face and take the breather when he noticed how red they were.
Oh, ew, guys, I think I got that fake blood on my hands, he told the group, holding his hands out,
palms down so it would drip onto the haunted house's floors instead of his own sleeves.
Find something to wipe it on, then. We can't just leave unless we give up, Jiro said, breathing more evenly now than she was just a minute ago. Shit. Okay, he said, feeling a little guilty as he approached some curtains.
Looking around, he noticed that this was the Victorian-era room.
Well, if this is gonna stain, at least the curtains are already red,
He wiped off his hands on the curtains. But nothing wiped off? Confused, Kaminari turned back to the light source in the room, a large chandelier in the center of the mock drawing room. Holding his palms up to his face, his stomach dropping in revelation.
Guys, this isn't blood.
The fuck is it then? Mina asked as she approached. What else could you have possibly gotten into, Kami? She stopped abruptly as she looked down at his hands, then up, meeting his wide gaze.
No fucking way.
Yeah, way.
What is it, bro?
Kirishima asked, still standing with Jiro and Sero. Mina looked to Kaminari expectantly. He swallowed roughly and managed a weak response.
It's a soul mark.
His friends were silent, wide-eyed and staring at Kaminari for a moment. Then all hell broke loose. Kirishima rushed over to look at Kaminari's hands. Mina began cursing like a sailor about how he mistook a soul mark for blood, and Sero and Jiro began debating whether or not it counted as two soul marks instead of one. Kirishima quickly changed gears to get Mina to simmer down, but it's always a fool's errand to ask her to calm down. Standing amidst the chaos, Kaminari was struck with a moment of clarity. While his head was full of questions, he had one answer. Without sparing a word to his friends, Kaminari turned and dashed out of the door they slammed behind them just minutes earlier. Back in the hospital ward, he tried to remember the path they took as he weaved through the beds and curtains in reverse order. Kaminari sees movement out of the corner of his eye and beelines to it. To his dismay, it was the worker in the hospital gown, not the one he was looking for.
Where's the other guy?
His question came out more like a demand, but he was too wired to care about his social graces in this moment. The employee looked shocked, almost scared, at the fact that Kaminari was addressing him so freely, but wordlessly held up a hand to point in the opposite direction. Kaminari turned on a heel, shouting a thank you over his shoulder as he went on his way once again. Ducking through a few more bed spaces and curtains, Kaminari finally found him. He was sitting on an upright gurney, with a phone in one hand and a walkie-talkie in the other. He was still in the distressed hospital scrubs, complete with gory special effects makeup. Kaminari distantly wondered if his purple hair and eyes were part of the costume, or true to his appearance. He hoped for the latter. Kaminari's non-subtle entrance to his space obviously drew his attention, as he was now staring at the blonde with tired eyes. He cleared his throat.
Can I help you? Your group already made it to room 3. Why are you back here?
Kaminari was dumbfounded, having a hard time putting his words together now that he was face to face with his soulmate.
My very attractive and cool soulmate with pretty purple hair and a deep, sexy voice.
Fuck! Focus! Hi, Kaminari said, taking a few steps closer to where his soulmate was sitting, looking confused and beautiful at the same time. The soulmate didn't respond, which prompted Kaminari to keep talking, but he didn't do a very good job of that. He wanted to introduce himself eloquently and explain why he believes they're soulmates, respectfully request that the stranger checks for soul marks in the shape of his own hands, have a laugh, go on a date, live happily ever after and all that. Instead, he chokes out, "I'm Denki Kaminari," and holds out his reddened palms.
That's it. No explanation, no smooth pickup lines, not even asking for his name.
Luckily, his soulmate is here to pick up the slack for him this time around. He looks confused, but hops down from the gurney and comes closer to Kaminari. He stands a good bit higher than him, and Kaminari cranes his neck a bit to look at him from this close. Hesitantly, he takes a wrist into his hand, inspecting Kaminari's left palm. Kaminari can see the gears turning behind his eyes. Understanding crosses his features as he steps back, pulling at the collar of his scrub top and peering down. The revelation melts some of Kaminari's tension. His arms drop gracelessly to his sides, and he releases a breath he didn't realize he was holding. Relief washes over him as he sees his soulmate crack a small smile, flattening his shirt back to his chest with care. "Kaminari," he says. "I'm Hitoshi Shinso. Pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry, I don't usually look so..." He searches for an accurate descriptor, settling on "festive." Kaminari scoffs, thankfully finding his voice again. "No worries, dude. I love Halloween. Sorry for hitting you. You're really good at your job, but I guess if I didn't spaz out and get you, we wouldn't be here right now." "Nah, it didn't hurt. It was actually funny to watch you freak out like that," Shinso teased. Kaminari Fate gasped. "How dare you find entertainment in my suffering? Some soulmate you are." Shinso chuckled and opened his mouth to respond, only to be cut off by his walkie-talkie. Kaminari could hardly understand the person talking through the channel static and tiny speaker, but Shinso didn't seem to have the same trouble. Raising it to his lips, he answered, "Call it off. I've got him in room 2. "Yeah, he's fine. I'll take him to the lobby now." More jargon from the other person. Shinso scoffed. "Yeah, I'll explain it when I get there." He clipped the walkie-talkie to his scrub pants and looked back at Kaminari. "Your friends are freaking out. They were going to put the whole building on lockdown. Come on, we got to get up to the front." Kaminari felt his face heat up. "Yeah, I just kind of took off when I realized you were here. Probably should have let them know. Or at least waited till we got out," he said, following close to Shinso as he weaved through the room to an unmarked side door, pulling a set of keys from his pocket. "Don't sweat it. I probably would have done the same. And you know, people don't make many sound decisions here. All the adrenaline and shit can really fuck with people's judgment and thought process." He turned to look at Kaminari. "I'm impressed you figured it out at all, especially as quickly as you did." Kaminari preened under the praise, but was quick to humble himself. "I thought it was the fake blood at first," he said, rubbing his hands together. "But it wasn't coming off. That's when it hit me." Shinso unlocked the door and beckoned Kaminari through it. He closed the door behind them, leading Kaminari into a narrow hallway lit with blue light bulbs every few feet. "Well, either way, I'm glad you figured it out. Otherwise, I wouldn't know until the end of my shift." They approached the end of the hall, where Kaminari could hear him unlocking another door before the bright overhead lights of the lobby washed over him again. He blinked to adjust to the light, stepping forward when he felt Shinso nudge his shoulder to move him along.
"Genki, dude, what the fuck?"
Kirishima was on him in half a second, gripping him by the shoulders.
"You scared the hell out of us."
Kaminari could see the rest of his friends hovering just behind Kirishima.
"Dude, chill. I'm sorry for freaking you out, but I kinda had something to do," he said with a nervous laugh.
Kaminari tracks Kirishima's eyes as his focus narrows on something, or someone, behind him.
"Oh. Oh."
His eyes snap back to Kaminari, and he can tell he's suppressing a grin.
Yeah.
He turns to see Shinso hovering by the door they came through. He was talking lowly with one of his co-workers, the one that took their waivers earlier. He pauses mid-sentence, making eye contact with Kaminari.
"Do you maybe want to meet my friends?"
he asked, bouncing on the balls of his feet. A nervous habit, he knows. The co-worker steps away, leaving Shinso to nod timidly and come forward. Kaminari notes that he seems shyer now than he did when he confidently led Kaminari out of his both mental fog and the maze of haunted house props. Maybe he's not one for large groups. Or strangers. Or both. That's all right, though. Kaminari instantly resolved to be this guy's social body shield if necessary.
"You don't have to, though, if it's too much right now," he says, at a volume where only Shinso will hear it.
Shinso looked surprised at the offer, gazing down at Kaminari like he gave him a gift he's always wanted. He reins in his expression, however, and refuses the out.
"No, this is fine. Shouldn't put it off."
Kaminari beams and gathers the attention of his friends, who were previously whispering amongst themselves, likely about the costumed stranger that returned their excitable friend to them. "Guys, it's totally my bad for running off like that, but I remembered that I hit one of the employees on accident, so I had to go find him. And I did." He made a grand gesture to his newfound soulmate. "This is Hitoshi Shinso. Shinso, these are my very best friends, Eijiro Kirishima, Mina Ashido, Han Tosero, and Kyoka Jiro. It was Jiro who brought us to this fine yet horrifying establishment." He gestured to each of his friends in turn. Shinso breathed out a quiet laugh. "Then you're to thank for our first contact, I guess." Jiro tipped her chin up. "I like that logic. Kami, you are now forever in my debt." Mina cackled at Jiro's brash statement, but Kaminari had no intentions of refuting it. "Pfft, have you seen this guy? Jiro, I'd give you my left kidney right now if you asked." Kaminari saw a blush rise in Shinso's very well-defined cheekbones, but chose not to comment in case it would embarrass him. "All right, well," Shinso addressed the group. "If you guys want, you can finish the haunted house. We can take you back to the start of room 3, since that's where you left off and all."
"Hell yeah! Give me a heart attack, dude!"
Kirishima said, fist pumping very enthusiastically. "I don't work the other rooms. I can't really do that for you," Shinso answered, but it was effectively drowned out by the wave of excited chatter that followed the prospect of re-entering the house. "Sounds like we've come to a decision," Kaminari said. "But for your own safety, it's probably best that you don't work the other rooms tonight." "Oh, are you going to hit me again? Kinky." Shinso flirted with an easy smile that reached his tired eyes. "Well, that confirms it. He's definitely better one-on-one than he is in group settings. Kaminari can work with that, as soon as he gets his blush to fade." "You're going to give me a heart attack. Another one?" "Shut up and give me your number," Kaminari said, thrusting his phone towards the taller man. "What are you doing tomorrow?" Shinso took the phone and tapped away. "I have a shift at 4. Would you be free for lunch?"
"Yeah, I love lunch. Yeah, I'd love to," Kaminari managed, taken by surprise at how casual his sometimes shy, sometimes confident soulmate could plan their first date.
"Perfect. I love lunch, too." Shinso handed back the phone. As Kaminari reached out to accept it, a jolt shot up his arm, causing him to drop the phone as he retracted his hand. Shinso gave him a confused look and knelt to grab Kaminari's phone off the linoleum floor.
"Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I think you shocked me." He laughed nervously, rubbing his hand against his jeans. Shinso said nothing, looking lost in thought.
"Okay, trust me for a second," he finally said. "Give me your hand."
"I'm trusting you, man, but I am totally lost," Kaminari said, as he reached out the hand that had been shocked. Shinso released a measured sigh, setting Kaminari's forgotten phone on the front desk. "I think you touched me when you went for your phone." Carefully, Shinso rested a hand under Kaminari's waist, hovering the other over his open palm. And it might be an old wives' tale, but some people swear by it.
"Swear by what?"
Shinso looked Kaminari in the eye for a minute. Then, without answering, he touched the pad of his index finger to the center of Kaminari's red palm. Kaminari had prepared to repeat his question, not loving how he was left in the dark with, well, whatever this was. But his breath caught in his throat as his palm buzzed at the contact. A moment later, he registered a lower, muted buzz in his left palm where it hung at his side.
"Holy shit," he breathed.
Shinso tore his gaze from their hands up to Kaminari's face, a shy smile overtaking his features.
"You feel it?"
Kaminari nodded eagerly, bouncing in place.
"What's it like?"
"A buzzing, like pins and needles in a good way. And warm? But that might just be me," he rambles, pulling his hand away for a moment, only to re-grab at Shinso's fingers to compare the sensation and lack thereof.
No, not just me. It's warm. I like it, in both of them.
He gestures with his free hand.
Oh, we should do yours.
Kaminari takes a breath, realizing. Actually, maybe not. Shinso only laughs lightly, rubbing a hand over his shirt where Kaminari's handprint should be on his chest. Yeah, I really don't feel like stripping here. Probably an HR violation. He lowers his voice. Some other time, then? Is that okay?
Kaminari doesn't even fight the blush rising on his face, as his mind drifts to less family-friendly implication of Shinso's statement. He gets out a strangled,
"Yeah, for sure."
Shinso finds that amusing, if the smirk on his face is any indication.
Gods, I want to wipe that stupid smirk off your mouth, with my mouth, preferably, when there's less Halloween makeup on it, preferably.
Before he could come up with a witty response, Shinso's co-worker returned.
Shinso, we've got another group coming in 20. Can you get these guys back on track?
Kaminari tried not to be disappointed as Shinso handed his phone back, successfully this time, and rounded up Kaminari's friends. He led them back through the dark hallway they had emerged from. It was less eerie with Kaminari's chattering group.
Isn't blue light bad for you? Mina said.
I think that's only when it's from computers and shit.
We're about to go back into a haunted house. Why are you worried about hallway lighting?
I'm trying to distract myself. I don't feel like having a stress heart attack right now, Mina defended.
Shinso piped up from where he led the group.
We actually did have a guy have a cardiac event in here a few years ago, before I worked here.
Mina squeaked. Was he okay?
Kaminari could see Shinso's shrug, shadows cast across his face and body from the sparse lighting.
I think so. But again, that was before my time.
He stopped in front of a door, unlocking it. I heard it was in this room, but I could be wrong. His ominous statement ignited a new round of nervous whispers and struck a fresh pang of fear into Kaminari's chest. He hung back as his friends filed back into the last room they were in. Coming up to where Shinso stood, holding the door, he paused.
Is that true? He said, barely above a whisper.
Shinso smiled down at him.
Maybe. I'm sure you guys will be fine.
He hooked a finger around Kaminari's pinky. He sighed as the comforting buzzing washed over his hands.
Besides, we have a date, so you can't really die, unless you want to stand me up or something.
Denki! Quit flirting and get in here! Mina wants to speed run this bitch! Sero called.
Flushing, Kaminari stepped away from Shinso and further into the room.
I'll see you tomorrow, yeah?
Shinso shot him a small smile.
Yeah, see you then, he said, before talking into his walkie-talkie and closing himself back into the back hallway.
A collective shout of his name was all Kaminari heard before he was tackled by his friends.
Look how easy Romeo forgets about his friends, Sero teased.
Hey man, I don't blame him. Tall, dark, and spooky? Sign me up.
I'm so telling Momo you said that.
Do it, coward. I'm pussy-whipped and she knows it, Jiro replied with ease.
I think we're overlooking that our man just met his soulmate, Kirishima said. How does it feel, dude?
Kaminari can only smile and shake his head.
It's amazing, dudes. I'm so excited. I just...
Fuck!
Kaminari's shout scattered the group, who somehow forgot they were in a haunted house. Later that night, as Kaminari laid in bed, he crafted the perfect text to his newfound soulmate.
Okay, so that room didn't give me a heart attack, but I'm pretty sure a part of me died.
Well, as long as enough of you is alive for our date, I'd call that a win. Y'all, my back is so tired. I've been recording for like 3 hours.
Anyways, I very much hope you enjoyed this story. If you did, be sure to follow or subscribe depending on the platform. And if you'd like to hear more, I have content on Acre, Spotify, and a catalog on AO3, which is still missing stuff, so if you find the holes, be sure to let me know. If you have recommendations, I have a form for you to fill out. And if you'd like to join my Discord server or follow me on Instagram, you can find the links to all of these things in my Beacons page, the link to which will be in the description, as well as some other important info. This isn't just a ploy to get me to follow you. Wait. Get you to follow me, by the way. I have polls and stuff that you guys can participate in that often help me decide what ships to read next. And I really do love all the comments and talking to you guys. The private messages, the emails, the comments. Ugh, God, I love them. I live for them. So please, give me life. And while I have you here, please go give the author some love because, what? That was cute. That was cool. It's like I was in the haunted house. Are you kidding me? That was great. And yeah. Thank you for joining me today, and I will see you next week, or next time. Bye.